Want to gain an edge in international markets with foreign currency exchange? At Associated Bank, we've got you. We can assist you in obtaining or converting foreign currency and managing the exchange risk to your advantage. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with David Fowler, Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, welcome back.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me back.
We're going to focus in on Brexit because that's one of your areas of expertise. The governor of the Bank of England recently called for greater cooperation on financial rulemaking, talking about the openness of the UK economy. All of this happening in the wake of Brexit. What's he talking about?
Well, you know, if we kind of cast our minds back to some of the great promises of Brexit, one of them was to make London the kind of Singapore on Thames, right? So this would be a place where you would have a lot of, you know, an easier regulatory environment to create a lot of financial, the creation of new kind of financial models and new financial methods. And this would bring this kind of reinvigorate the city of London, as it's called, like the financial part of London, would start to reinvigorate the city in a way that had never been seen before. And, you know, really what's kind of happened in reality is that there's been a lot of businesses that were in the city of London are now in Paris and Amsterdam and Dublin and places like that. And, you know, so city employment has gone down. And really, it's become, London's become more of a backwater than it's been for quite a long time. So still important, but not doesn't have that kind of level of importance that it used to have. What you have are the kind of the Brexiteer, let's extract the value of this great idea. Folks are saying, you know, we need to have our own regulations, our own approach to things. And, you know, then you have the Bank of England coming out and saying that, you know what, we really need to be in step with everybody else because, you know, as we've talked about many times, you know, any business, it doesn't matter whether it's a manufacturing business or a banking business or a financial technology business or anyone, they can adapt to the regulations and they can make a cost analysis of whether there's a benefit or not for them to be there once they know what the regulations are. But it's a lot easier to do it if you have to size your business to fit one set of rules across a geographic area. So the European Union, you know, there's financial rule consistency across all member states. You know, to have something that's completely different in the UK, you know, there's a cost and there's a benefit. And unless that benefit is way more than the cost, companies will tend to move to, you know, an area where there is this kind of financial conformity. And I think that's what the governor of the Bank of England was looking to try to emphasize, that it makes more sense in many ways for the UK to be similar to the rest of the European Union than to be on its own. The problem with that, of course, is that that's exactly the opposite of what the promise of Brexit was. So, you know, it's a bit of a conundrum.
Yeah, he did raise an alarm that I think international investors should be aware of. He talked a little bit about money market funds and how there needed to be more oversight of those. What's he talking about here? Is there a vulnerability for international investors? What's he getting at?
Well, I think he's referring to those company called Greenfields, which actually was being the new foreign secretary, Lord Cameron, actually was very much involved in as a spokesman for them. They went spectacularly bankrupt about a year ago, and I think what happened was that, or at least what I think the governor is trying to get to, is that, you know, without strong, consistent regulatory environment, it's going to be difficult for investors to have confidence. And, you know, so you had the Greenfields situation. You know, we've seen issues with cryptocurrencies, you know, in various countries at the moment. And I think, you know, there is this kind of feeling that, you know, if we are moving into kind of more recessionary period, which we may well be, a lot of these kind of investment vehicles that were kind of in a kind of a light touch regulatory environment may not be as resilient as those in countries where there's a much more kind of rigid framework. And I think that's kind of where his kind of fear is, that we might see a further issues with some of the investment funds. And if that's the case, that's going to be a real problem, because obviously when these things tend to go south, they go south fairly quickly.
The situation, the economic situation in the UK is improving with the inflation falling there. The Bank of England has been successful, like the Fed here has been, in bringing inflation down. Things are improving there.
They are, to an extent. But yet, when you look at, if you look at the UK versus the US or versus the European Union, they're still kind of lagging behind in terms of lower growth. So growth for this year is looking to be basically zero, and is not looking to be much higher next year. Inflation, the most recent inflation figures in the UK were at about 6.7% year on year. You know, if you take the same ones for the US, it's about 3.2, so half. The European Union levels are a little higher. They're a little higher in the threes, but still considerably better than what we're seeing in the UK. So, the OECD has, kind of basically projected zero growth in the UK for all of this year and half of next year. And you also have a political situation where the current government has to go to the polls within about the next 12 months. And being, 25 points behind Labour, in some polls 30 points behind Labour, having an economy that's not doing much for its people is not going to help them when the election comes. So they have a lot of hard decisions to make, but certainly it's unlikely that we will see rates coming down in the UK. They may not go up as much, but it's important. If you look at UK rates and US rates are about the same, like the base rates are, that kind of 5.5, 5.25 area. It's likely they're going to stay that way. They might go maybe another half point up. I think that's probably going to be it. But we're not going to see, rates coming down in a hurry. And that's, having a lot of problems. And what maybe some of the listeners, don't realize is that in the UK, and in particular, a lot of people have basically what are effectively floating rate mortgages. So when we see base rates moving up, that means their mortgage payments are going up considerably. And in some cases, they've gone up, some people are paying, 100% of what they were over what they were paying, a couple of years ago. So there is, a certain element of there's a kind of a credit crunch. And I think everything in the economy there is looking towards, if not recession, then certainly not growth. So maybe just kind of trundling along at kind of zero. But I think there are some significant headwinds ahead for the UK economy.
Are there any ways to predict what the Bank of England might do on rates? Or maybe a better question is it tied really to the US? Because it seems like they mirror a lot of the decisions that the Federal Reserve makes.
It does look like that, but I do think it's independent. It is really a function of inflation. And the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who will be the same as the Secretary of the Treasury here, is adamant that they have to bring inflation down before anything else will happen. So, you have the Governor of the Bank of England who wants to keep inflation down. You have the Chancellor of the Exchequer who wants to keep inflation down. And you have a single mandate central bank in the Bank of England whose job is to basically, prevent inflation and manage money supply. All of those are pointing towards a group of people who will push rates higher if necessary in order to bring down inflation. So, here in the U.S., we have a slightly different situation, that inflation is half what it is in the U.K. And the Fed has, a dual mandate here of full employment and price stability. So, who wins in that dual mandate tends to be the question that people have. But I think you will see rates coming down in the U.S. before you see rates coming down in the U.K.
David, I thought that the global supply chain had pretty much rebounded and was back to normal. But apparently there's been something called a freight recession on the global supply chain. What is that? And is it expected to improve any?
Well, it's you know, basically, I think what we've seen is that, you know, once, you know, we kind of came out of lockdown and all that kind of stuff, there was a surge in consumer demand, right? And, you know, everything was on wait lists and all this stuff. And, you know, the freight markets were through the roof. And now what we've seen is, you know, I think two things. One thing is the normalization of demand. So, you know, all those people that wanted to buy a refrigerator, you know, they now they have them. So they're not buying another one for a while. So we've seen this kind of demand going back to kind of a more normal of that tempo. But we've also seen, I think people are starting to worry about whether there is a recession ahead. And, you know, so people are becoming a little more cautious in what they do and how they spend. Like when we look at retail, most recent retail sales, you know, you're looking at retail sales going being down a little bit. They were down 0.1, the last number that came out, which, and 0.1 is, you know, you can't get too excited about because you have to really look at all these things as a series and not a single event. But, you know, there is kind of a feeling that demand may be coming off a little bit. You know, employment is still really strong, which is good. But, you know, the whole idea behind the Fed's recent increases in interest rates was to tamper demand, and it looks like that's what they're doing. They're succeeding. So I think what we're seeing now is this kind of general kind of feeling that the froth is out of this market. So you are going to see, you know, future demand for freight coming down, you know, more to a kind of a more normalized level. You know, and I think that's kind of what we're seeing. And when you talk to people in this business, and if you look at the surveys that are done, pretty much everyone is expecting that, you know, freight markets, whether it be ocean freight or rail or truck freight levels, will continue to be soft going in certainly into the next 6 to 8 months.
It's intriguing because the people watch these supply chains. Sometimes they get something 3 or 4 months in advance of when we see it actually happen. Talking about retail expectations, they can see maybe lower orders being placed, lower amount of goods coming through, and they can predict what might happen in 3 to 4 months.
Yeah. Well, you know, Alan Greenspan, who was the chairman of the Fed some years ago, one of his personal economic indicators that he would watch all the time was cardboard box production. Because if you think about it, you know, most things, particularly large things that are purchased, come in a box. And so he basically watched that as an indicator of future trends in demand. And as he saw production in boxes going down, for him, that was an indicator that demand was going down. Mm-hmm. So it is a very valid indicator of, you know, future performance. Now, things can change, but certainly, you know, across the board on pretty much all the surveys that you see, the freight market looks like it's going to stay fairly calm.
David, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, you can certainly email me. And my email address is david.fowler@associatedbank.com, or you can call the trading desk at 866-524-8836.
All right, David. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.